Good morning and Maranatha. Shalom. The peace of the Lord be with us. We are continuing to learn about the hope of the resurrection. We are encouraging ourselves through the scriptures that we need to understand the hope that we have in the resurrection. We have seen what resurrection of the dead is. We already discovered the resurrection of Jesus Christ was clear, and that is the message that we preach. The church at Corinth had lost that message. There came a people who were teaching otherwise. They were calling themselves super apostles. And they actually discouraged the people about the hope of the coming Messiah. And they stopped looking forward for Jesus to come back. And for that reason, people started identifying themselves with the wrong company. We discover that there are dangers and many one for not having the hope of resurrection, the resurrection of the body, or not knowing that Jesus Christ resurrected as the first fruit of those that have fallen asleep. Jesus is the only one who have resurrected by today, and that's the first order. The second order, as Paul said, which the church of Corinth didn't know, is those who have died in the Lord, and the resurrection will take place at the rapture when Jesus comes again, when Jesus comes to snatch the church. Those who have fallen asleep, Bible says they will be the first to come from the graves, the bodies will come from the graves, and they will reunite with their spirits, which are with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord will give them a new body, and they'll be together with the Lord forever. And then the last order of resurrection is those who did not believe in Jesus, who continue to remain even after the rapture. And when Jesus comes back to reign here on earth together with his bride, his church, for 1,000 years, and those who died will be judged, and they'll be resurrected. The dead will resurrect, because the Bible says that the last enemy to be conquered is death. And when that death is conquered, the Lord Jesus will give back the kingdom back to God the Father, and the dead in the Lord shall be judged. Now, when you do not know that, people remain in this life without being very productive, and they have no productivity. So today we want to see the hope, how the hope of the resurrection will help us to understand about the new bodies. It will help us to understand that when we resurrect, we'll have new bodies, and it help us to know what kind of company to associate with today. And so we start from 1 Corinthians 15 from verses 29. We do several verses today so that we can understand the hope of resurrected bodies. And Paul is challenging the people and saying this. Now, if there's no resurrection, he's still arguing, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people being baptized for them? Now, here, Paul is not saying that it is whether it is good or bad to be baptized for the dead. But he is saying there are people here on earth who are baptized for the dead. Being baptized for the dead means to be associated with the dead, to be identified with the dead. Now, these dead are the living dead. You know, in African context, there are people that are called the living dead. Our people, our elders, do believe that the spirits of those who died always come back to be with the living. That's why they keep on giving them libation. They keep on speaking with them. In fact, they sacrifice for the living dead. They give them blood to drink. Either they give them the animals, the blood of the animals. They can even sacrifice their children, and even they sacrifice their time to come together. That's what we call to be baptized for the dead. If you say the name baptized means to be identified with. It means to be associated. So we're asking, how are people identified with the living dead? It is they are being done by sacrificing for them. So they are baptized for the dead by giving the living the names of the dead. And that's how in our people today, we name people. We give people baptism names by those who have gone. Whether you like it or not, at least everybody associate with the living dead. Now, when it comes to the scriptures, we call ourselves names of Paul. We give ourselves name, the baptism name, Peter. We call ourselves the names John. We give ourselves name, James. We give ourselves a name, Andrea, Thomas, Esther, Mary. And all those names of the people who lived long ago. So why are we identifying ourselves with these people? Because we do believe that there's something good that they did, some qualities that we want to see in our lives. Like Joseph. We call our children Joseph. Now that is baptizing ourselves with those who have already gone, with the spirits of those who have gone. Because we believe, as the Bible says, that those who have gone are still alive in Christ. Their bodies are dead, but their spirits are alive. The Bible does not say it is good, whether it is good or bad, but people are identified with the dead. So it's sometimes wrong to identify ourselves with the bad company of the dead. We're also going to discover. So Paul is asking, why are people identifying themselves with the dead, with the living dead? If there's no baptism. So he's saying, even those, everybody who does that, they believe there is a resurrection. They believe that the dead will come back to life. Or they believe when you die, you'll go back to them. So they somehow, everybody believes in the resurrection of the dead. Whether they will inherit the kingdom of God or not, that's a new game altogether. That's a new thing altogether. But they baptize themselves for the dead because they have a hope of resurrection. So Paul says, if there's no resurrection, why is that happening? And verse 20, that says, and so for us, why do we endanger our lives every hour? Now Paul says, because of the hope of resurrection, we endanger our life today. So what we are saying today is that the hope of resurrection or the lack of it will determine the quality of life. Some things we do today, all the things we do today is because of the hope of resurrection or lack of the hope of resurrection. So Paul says some people are baptized for the dead. They identify themselves with the dead because of the hope of resurrection. Paul says we as the church, like Paul, endanger himself every hour because of the hope of resurrection. So he says there are things he does not care about it. Because he knows even if he die, he'll still come back to life. He says, yes, I face death every day. Just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beast in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained if the dead are not raised? So he gave us and says, Paul was able to fight with the people he calls the beast of Ephesus because of the hope of resurrection. He knew that even if he fight with the he fought with the beast of Ephesus, he will be resurrected. So he says, why did I fight with them if there was no, you know, hope of racing back? So he says, if there's no resurrection, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to yourself as you ought and stop sinning, for there is some who are ignorant of God. I say this to the shame. Now, he now talk about, you know, the company. You see, associating yourself with the living dead, that's the company of those who have died. But now, even today, you can also have the company of those who are living here on earth. And Paul says, do not associate yourself with bad company, because they are going to destroy good character. And good character is there because of the hope of the resurrection of the body. So he says, come back to your sins as you ought and stop sinning. So then Paul gives us very important here about the kind of bodies we are going to receive when we get resurrected. This is very critical. I know we always talk about these, the kind of bodies when we have, when we are going to resurrect, during when somebody dies from your family or close to you. But this is a message that we should be able to get and be sober, even when nobody has died. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? Paul says, how foolish. What you saw does not come to life unless it dies. So now he compares the resurrection of the dead like the sprouting of a seed. So he compares the when we bury a body of a dead person, when we bury that body, is like we plant it. It's like a seed we plant. And now he says, when you plant a seed, it is going to germinate. So resurrection is like germination. That's what Paul is saying. So he says, when you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of seed, of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. Giving an example of resurrection, like a seed that is planted, but the germination of that plant, of that shoot, is determined by God. So he's saying the bodies that we will receive when our own bodies are buried here on earth, God will give it a new body, a transformed body. And what kind of it? Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh. Animals have another. Birds, another. Fish, another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one, and the splendor of the earthly body is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, the star another, and the stars differ from the star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead? The body that is sown or planted is perishable. Very critical to realize that when the souls are, when the body are being buried, they are being sown. It's like planted. But what is planted is perishable. But it is going to be raised imperishable. It's going to resurrect imperishable. That body is sown in disorder. It's going to be raised in glory. That body is sown in wickedness. It's going to be raised in power. That body is sown a natural body. is going to be raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first Adam became a living being, and the last Adam, that is Christ, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. He's talking about the creation of Adam. The first day he came, he was just a natural body. God created Adam from dust. Then he breathed in the spirit. That's what Paul is reminding us. The first man was dust of the earth. That's when Adam was created. But the second man, who is Jesus, is of heaven. As was the natural man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. Then he says, and just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so we shall bear the image of the heavenly man. So this is very critical, that our resurrection will take place when from the bodies, when they are sown and they are planted, they will resurrect differently. Some in dishonor, they'll come back in honor. Some in weakness, they'll come back in strength. Some natural, all of them natural, they'll come spiritual. And we shall bear the image of Jesus Christ when we come back. So it's good to understand that we should not identify with bad company, who is going to destroy good character or good morals. We don't even identify ourselves with the dead, with the living dead, who are going to destroy our good character. Father, we thank you. Help us to understand this message of resurrection in Jesus' name.